Okay, good afternoon. Let's see, so there is a midterm next Wednesday. And as usual, I'm not quite sure how my computer's doing, so feel free to let me know if you have trouble hearing me. The material for the midterm will be through today's lecture, which actually I'm not really going to teach anything new. I'm going to do more with, so there is our an exam, which I linked, I guess, last night. So on the webpage, there's an old exam. Okay. And I'll try to also get a practice exam up over the weekend. Okay. Let's see. So it'll cover through chapter 2, except that we're not doing 2.6. So everything that we've done in up to chapter 2. So it covers chapter 1 and chapter 2, except at 2.6, which we haven't talked about at all. Okay. Anyway, it's next week. Let me know if you have any other questions, but that's the setup. I think most of the information is on the webpage. Okay, so as I said, what I want to do is basically more examples of proofs, but with an emphasis, of course, on the latest, which is induction proofs. But I'll try to sort of hit some other topics along the way. So more proofs. All right. So let me just start with some examples. So Fibonacci numbers come up in the homework section of the text, and they also come up in lots of other places and are a good example of things you can prove inductively. Let me do some of that. So definition, Fibonacci numbers and in fact, they're even defined inductively. So they're sort of set up very naturally. What if it's not possible? Okay, let's see. It fits into then, I guess, the category of things. Decide whether the following is true. If true, prove. If not, find a counterexample. So that would be the approach to basically anything. If you believe that the statement as written is false, then you should prove that it is false. Okay. Right now, I'm going to give you some that are true, but we have certainly had questions of exactly that form. You know, decide whether the following is true. If it's true, prove it. If not, find a counterexample. So that's a very reasonable class of problem. Right. Okay. But right now, I wanted to do a couple involving this Fibonacci numbers. And so, as I said, the definition itself is inductive. And just like inductive proofs, when you have an inductive definition, you kind of get started with some base cases, and then the rest are defined in terms of the previous ones. So we're going to take Fibonacci sub 1 is equal to 1. Fibonacci sub 2, this one, to actually, the fun thing about Fibonacci numbers is they have two base cases. But once you have both of those, then you can get started. And now you can define all the other ones. F sub n plus 2 is just the sum of the previous two. Okay, so that's the definition for the rest of them. Examples. I hope it's clear. So from this notation, is it clear what F sub 3 would be? Okay.
Yeah, it would be two.
Exactly. So everyone see that? So I told you one and I told you two. And then this says, well, I build three by just adding the previous two. Right. So then that's how I get it. So it's just two as suggested there. So and then you can just keep going. It's kind of fun. You just keep going. So this one's three because it's two plus one. And the next one is five. Oops. And the next one is eight. And the next one is 13. And they keep going. Okay. Notation clear. So those are the Fibonacci numbers. All right. All right, now let me just state a couple of facts about them and we can prove at least one of those. So claim one, the GCD of a pair of adjacent Fibonacci numbers is always one. So if Fn are the Fibonacci numbers, then for every n, we have the GCD of F sub n. Actually, I'll allow it to be equal to one, so I'll take n plus one. So n and n plus one is equal to one, okay? That's one claim. And let's see, actually, maybe I'll just write two claims and then we can work on them. So the second one, claim two. Again, the Fibonacci numbers then for every n, we have this time three divides well, it doesn't divide all of them, but it divides every fourth one, so it divides at F sub 4n. Okay, so those are two fun facts about Fibonacci numbers. And let's see, so let's just start here. So let's work on claim one. So we do the usual things. We start by trying to understand what we have. Okay, and so we can go over here and let's see. So this says that the pair are GCD. So this says that one and one should have GCD one. That's true. One and two should have GCD one. That's true. Two and three should have GCD one. That's true, etc. So let me start the over here. So note the GCD of 1 and 1 is equal to 1. The GCD of 1 and 2 is equal to 1. The GCD of 2 and 3 is equal to 1, et cetera. Okay, so that's it's consistent. All right, so that's a good start. All right, let's see. So then the next thing to do, as usual, is to consider the logic. All right, this is an induction section. So what type of logic should I expect to find here?
For all.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And induction, it's even a very special case of for all. So what are we going to be quantifying over? For all n in what?
Natural numbers.
Yeah, a couple of people said it. That's right. So in the natural numbers, right? Because that's always what always what we do with induction. Then we have some proposition which depends on n, so Pn. So that's the type of structure that we have. And it is correct, that's what we have here. And Pn is this one, right? It says that the GCD of Fn and Fn plus one is one. So that's our Pn. So with Pn being that the GCD of Fn and Fn plus one is equal to one. Okay, so that's the logic that we have. And so then the what to assume and conclude Well, if we're going to prove it by induction, use induction. So the usual setting is you check the base case. And then you prove inductively. So that's one thing. And then the second one is you assume for P N and show P N plus one, right? So that's the that's one type of logic. Actually, so people remember what this one is called? There are two types of mathematical induction we talked about, right? So this is just the basic one. This is the so-called PMI, principle of mathematical induction. What would I do if I were going to do the generalized one? What would be different?
You assume for all natural numbers k greater than or equal to 1, that GCD of f of k and f of k plus 1 equals 1.
Yeah, that's almost exactly right. But you put the wrong quantifier on k. So you want k to be less than or equal to n. So for all k less than or equal to n, you have this proposition that you just correctly stated. You have pk, and show the same thing as above. Okay, everyone happy with that? So the difference is in this case here, we just assume one of them. And in this case, we assume all the previous ones. Okay, and then get the one that we want. So that's it. Okay. So this would be the generalized one. Okay, and usually if you can make the basic one work, then it's less to write, and so that's the one to use. But if not, then keep the second one handy in case you need it. All right, and so then ideas. So if we just try to approach this proof, how would we do it? So we're trying, it's inductive. When you're doing an inductive proof, that gives you some hints. You want to somehow get it to be back in terms of the previous ones, if you can, right? So if we want to compute, for example, let's just try one of these. Let's say the GCD of 13 and 8. I'm trying to get that to be 1. Okay, so there's various ways I can do it. But if I'm trying to get it to be 1 in a way that's related to these earlier ones, to the GCD of 5 and 8, how would I do that? Is that clear?
Yeah, I would say maybe define 13 and 8 in terms of previous Fibonacci numbers.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to do it. So I can write this as 8 plus 5, right? Because that's how it came, was by adding those two previous Fibonacci numbers, as you suggest. Okay. And now what would be helpful would be if this were the same as the GCD of just 5 and 8 by itself, right? If I could just subtract that 8 off and get the same GCD, right? That makes sense. And so then I would have gotten, this is, I guess, in my notation. So over here, this is F6 and F7. So this is P6. And this one here would be, so if this is equal to 1, and this would be P7 here. That's right, P5. So from P5, I would get P6. So that would be what I would want to do. So let's just see if we can make that work in a little bit more generality, in fact, full generality. So let's try that. So more generally, we can try to write the GCD. Well, let's see, what are we supposed to do? So we're supposed to check our logic here. We're supposed to show this one, all right? So the GCD of n plus 1 and f n plus 2, okay, is equal to. And as you suggested, we should maybe write that just as we did up here in terms of the previous ones. So this is a GCD of f n plus 1 and f n plus 1 plus f n, okay? And let's see, then what we would like is to get this to be the same as the GCD of f n plus 1 and f n. Okay, but this would be equal to 1. This would be our induction hypothesis. And then we would be done, right? So is it clear that that will suffice for the induction part of this, the proof?
How would you justify simplifying the addition between f of n plus 1 and f of n?
Exactly. You mean this step here?
Yeah.
That has a question mark? Very good question. And so what I would say is, okay, this is what we would like to be true. And so what I would like to do is find some, and now I'm left to try to prove this. And I would actually add that as a separate step. So let me do that. So, so the question mark can be covered. If we can prove the following general fact, that the GCD of B and A is equal to the GCD of B minus A and A, right? Because if that's true, then we would take in our example over here to make that apply to our example. Is it clear we would take B to be this Fn plus 1 plus Fn, and A to be the Fn plus 1, right? And then we would have the result. So that didn't quite answer your question, but it did move it to some more explicit statement. Is it clear that if we did prove this, then that would answer, then that would give us this equality that we wanted? Okay. So the way I would structure this proof is to make this a separate statement, and that's where I would use the term lemma. So so let's consider the lemma. Okay, and then I'd prove that lemma, okay? All right. So let me try that. So let's see, so how might I go about proving the lemma? So now I've reduced this problem to working on this lemma. So focus on the lemma. Okay, so if I want to say that these two have the same greatest common divisor as these two, I claim it will suffice so that they have the same set of divisors, right? If they have the same set of divisors, then in particular, the largest of their divisors must be the same, okay? So that's the claim I'm gonna make. So focus on the lemma. Let me show that the set of all D such that D divides B and D divides A is the same as the set of all divisors, let me call them E, such that E divides B minus A and E divides A. Okay, as long as those are the same, then we're set. Okay, and let's see, so this is unraveling a little bit more. So how do I prove that two sets are equal? What's the structure of an argument that proves that two sets are equal?
They're subsets of each other.
Exactly. So it reduces exactly as you say into two things to check. I need to check both subsets and then I'm done. Okay. So let's do that. So check containment this way. So to check containment that way, what do I have to do? Well, I have to say that if I have something D which divides B and divides A, then it divides A and it divides B minus A. Okay, so if D divides B and D divides A, we want to show that D divides B minus A and D divides A. Well, clearly it divides A because that's part of our assumption. So we just have to check that it divides B minus A. But so if B is equal to SD and A is equal to TD, then B minus A is equal to SD minus TD is equal to S minus TD. So D divides B minus A. Okay. And if you want to go the other way, it's very similar. Okay, so what I tried to do here was partition this off as a separate fact, and then we can plug it back in and get what we want. So that's a sketch. Are there any questions about how the sketch worked? So before we try to just piece it all back together into a carefully written proof. Okay, so let me write this. Let me restate this, the claim, and then I write it as a proof. So claim. Just restating what we had before. So if Fn are the Fibonacci numbers, then for every natural number n, we have the GCD of Fn and Fn plus 1 is equal to 1. So that's our claim. And we want to assemble all of the arguments that we had here. So proof. All right, so let's just look at how this argument goes. So there's this lemma. And just like the checking beforehand that everything's an integer and whatnot, I would do the lemma first. So I would start with this lemma and get that out of the way, okay? And then I would go through and do the usual logic for proof by induction. So I would do the base case and then I would do the induction case. So that's the order in which I would do it. Let me just write that down. So I would do one here. And then two, I would go over and do the base case. And then finally, I would do this induction case here. Okay, so in that order. So let's just try that now that we've worked out how we're gonna do that. So use the following lemma. Get this correct here. So if B is greater than or equal to A is greater than zero, then the GCD of B and A is equal to the GCD of B minus A and A. Okay, so that's the claim. That's the lemma, sorry, that we're going to try to prove. Okay, and so then a proof of lemma. All right. If the two sets are the same, then we are done. So it suffices to show that the common divisors of B and A are the same as the common divisors of B minus A and A. So B and A have the same common divisors. As B minus NA. Okay. And so that is to say, all right, so let's do that. So, all right, so the same, so that requires these two steps that we just had up here, the containment one way and the containment the other way. So let's just do those. So if D divides B and A, then we have that B is equal to S D and A is equal to T D. So B minus A is equal to S minus T D. And conversely, if D divides B minus A and A, then B is equal to, B minus A is equal to UD, and B is equal to, A is equal to B. D, sorry, getting my B's and D's mixed up, apologize. B is equal to B minus A plus A is equal to U plus V D. Okay, so we're done. Hence, as a lemma holds, okay, so there's our lemma. And now we can make use of our lemma to prove the claim. All right, so now prove the claim by induction using the lemma. Okay, all right, and so, for the base case, so it's going to be that the GCD of 1 and 1, which is true. And then for the inductive case, well, that's the computation that we did already over here. Oops, I guess we scrolled it off. Here it is. It's the one that we did right over here. So we just copy what we had wrote over there in our practice, in our prep for induction. Assume that the GCD of Fn and Fn minus 1 is equal to 1, okay? And hence, the GCD of Fn and Fn plus 1, which is equal to the GCD of, just copying what we had over here, Fn and Fn plus Fn minus 1, right? Because that's I guess I shifted by one the choice of my n, didn't I? I apologize for that. Let me actually shift it back because it's, I think, confusing, although it's correct this way. So I want to do the plus, the n and a plus one, and then I want to do the n plus two and plus one. So the same case that I did over here, okay? So I shifted it up by one, I apologize, but let me make that correct. So this is n plus 2, and this is n and n. So let me rewrite this one. And I do apologize. So I just shifted my indexing. So this is f n plus 1 plus f n and f n plus 1. Okay, just like just copying what we had over here. And so then this is then equal to the GCD of f. Well, actually, maybe I'll, since I have stopped here. And hence by the lemma, the GCD of f n plus 2 and f n plus 1 is equal to the GCD of f n and f n plus 1, which is 1 by the induction hypothesis. Okay, QED. All right, so that's kind of a long proof with a little bit complicated structure, but I hope that's clear. So there, so first of all, it was another example of using induction. And secondly, it was an example where instead of trying to put a long argument into the proof, I decided that it was tidier to set it aside as a lemma. I mean, I could have just proved that in the middle, but it's sort of tidier if I set it aside as a separate thing to check. Okay, any questions about that one? Okay. All right. So, all right. Well, let's do the second claim then. And so, claim 2. And let me just state it again. So, if we have the Fibonacci numbers. Then every f for n is divisible by 3. Okay. And so, as usual, we should do a sketch. For 2. All right, and we can just look at some of the f's that we computed before. So f1, f2, f3, f4, f5, f6. So we just computed these earlier. So just copying what they were, and also they're really quick to compute if you just add the next one. Okay, and so we just should check that the ones that are multiples of 4 should be divisible by 3. So that one's divisible by 3, that one's divisible by 3. Okay, so that is consistent with what we're trying to prove. Okay. Okay, let's see. So we're in, let me see here. So there's a question in the chat here. B minus A so this one here, I guess you're asking about. So this is a S minus T, right? It's because we have B times is equal to S times D, and A is equal to T times D. So B minus A is S minus T times D. Okay. All right. So this seems to be consistent, and it's clear, I think, that we have figured out what it is we're trying to prove. So we want that those things are divisible by 3. All right, and so let's try to then look at, so this is understanding it, U. And then the logic. So again, we're in the case of induction. Oh, earlier than that. Okay, so this is my sketch work here. So this is B minus A is equal to SD minus TD is equal to S minus T times D. Okay, but this is, yeah, still S minus T, that's right. And this, again, this is my sketch work. So in the end, you just want the final argument here to be complete and to have everything that you want in it. Right. So that's the goal. Okay. No. Okay, I'm glad it's clear now. All right, so then the logic. So again, we're trying to do an inductive proof. And so the logic is going to be something of the form for all natural numbers n, P of n. Okay, and so is it clear what P of n is in this case?
Is it that 3 divides F of 4n?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so that's right. And so you don't want to be thrown off by the fact that here there's a 4n and here there's an n. It's exactly as you say. So is that 3 divides F 4n. Exactly. Okay, and so that's our logic. And then the assume and conclude part. So if we're going to do it by induction, as usual with induction, there are going to be 2 things. We're going to do the base case, n equals 1. And that's actually the case that we already have up here, right? So F4 is equal to 3. Does that work? And then the second part is going to be induction. And so we're going to assume for induction that n and conclude P n plus 1. So that's going to be our goal. That's the logic. Okay, and then if we just write through what that is, so we want to consider F 4 times n plus 1. Okay, and in other words, F4n plus 4. Okay, so let's see. Any ideas for how we might relate this F4n plus 4 back to F4n, right? Which is the thing that comes up in what we're assuming.
Rewrite F of 4n plus 4, separate it into 2 Fibonacci numbers. Mm-hmm. So F of 4n plus F of 4.
You can't quite do that. But here's how you can separate it into 2, is like this. So you can separate it into 2 as F 4n plus 3 and F 4n plus 2. That you can do, okay? You can separate it into two previous ones. That's allowed. Sorry about that. Right? Okay, but that's a good start. And once you do that, so now we got to, we're moving down, right? So we got rid of the plus 4 and we're down to a plus 3 and a plus 2. Well, how can I get rid of the plus 3 and move to smaller things?
You can do F of 4n plus 2 plus F of 4n plus 1.
That's right. So I can write this one as F of F sub 4n plus 2 plus f sub 4n plus 1 and just leave the other f sub 4n plus 2 alone. Well, now I've got 2 4n plus 2, so let me just put them together. So this is 2 times f 4n plus 2 plus f 4n plus 1. And, you know, just to be sort of convincing, you can check that, for example, this says that this f6 should be, well, I'm sorry, this f8 here should be 2 times 8 here, plus 5, and that it is. Okay, so that much agrees. So far it's consistent. Okay, and see, so now that worked. So we got rid of the f3, n plus 3, and now we can keep going. We can get rid of that fn plus 2 and proceed. So then this is equal to 2, maybe I'll try it in both steps at once to see if you can follow us. Well, no, I'll do one. So 2 times f4n plus 1 plus f 4n, that's good. Now we're getting down to the one we know something about, plus f4n plus 1. Okay, and here we finally, and then we can regroup terms again. So we get 3 times f4n plus 1 plus 2 times f4n. Okay, good. So now we've got this f4n involved. Is this helpful? So we were trying to show, we're assuming, remember, what we're assuming is that is this pn plus 1. So that is that f4n is divisible by 3, right? And what we want to know is that f4n plus 1 is divisible by 3. So are we getting there? Is this going to help us?
Yes, because both of them are both divisible by 3, so therefore f of 4 of n plus 1 is divisible by 3.
Exactly. So here we got a 3 from this term, and this one we get a 3 by our reduction hypothesis. Right. So then we get the whole thing. And by induction hypothesis, f 4n is equal to 3 times s. So f 4 n plus 1 is equal to 3 times f 4 n plus 1, whatever that is, plus s. So 2 times s. Okay. So that's my logic and the basic idea of how the proof is going to go, the sketch. Any questions about how that sketch goes so that we can, so that you can follow it all when we try to put it all together? All right, so let's just write out a proof. I guess the claim got slid off, so let me rewrite the claim. So claim 2, if we have the Fibonacci numbers, then every f4n is divisible by 3. Okay, and the proof. Okay, so we have the structure over here. So we will use induction. Consider first the base case. N equals 1, which is that f4, which is equal to 3, is divisible by 3, which is true. All right, and now for induction, assume the induction hypothesis. And so that's going to be that f4n is divisible by 3. Okay. And what we're trying to prove, of course, is the next case, so that 4n plus 1. And that's what we have a sketch of over here. So let's do it. And since we did all this computation, we can kind of speed it up a little bit. So f4n plus 1 is equal to, and we can just sort of copy what we did over here. So this is equal to f4n plus 3 plus F4N plus 2. And then when we pull out, and when we split up the N plus 3 one, we get two of these F4N plus 2s. And we get an F4N plus 1. And then when we split up the 4N plus 2s, we're left with two F4Ns and three F4N plus 1s, because we get two more. This is this copy that we did over here, a little bit faster because we already did it once. And which is divisible by 3. Since F4N is. Okay, hence we're done. So therefore, by the principle of mathematical induction, the proof is complete. Okay, any questions about that proof or the structure of the proof?
Can you go over again why, if F4N is divided by divisible by 3, then that thing is
This thing is yes, I can. And in fact, that's a good point. Over here, I added a little more detail, and maybe it would be appropriate to add more detail. So let me just indicate what that detail would have been. So let me put it in here. Since F4N is equal to 3 times S, okay? So F4N plus 1 is equal to 3 times F4N plus 1 plus 2 times 3 times S, which is 3 times something. So that is something that you might have chosen to add in there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, pretty good. Yeah, and again, that's it's a question of how much detail is clarifying. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We're almost out of time, but let me just finally go back to the horse question. Did anyone figure out what went wrong with our horse question last time? So it's from an article in 1961, actually, that problem.
I still couldn't wrap my head around how you said that, like the first horse was the same color as the middle horses, or
yeah. So if we have 5 horses, say, right? So 5 horses, and we assume by induction that every group of 4 is the same color, then these are the same color, and these are the same color, right? Does that make sense? Because those are both groups of 4, and we showed that all groups of 4 have the same color. Okay. Okay, yeah, someone thinks I'm messing up the base case, all right, and which I agree. So does everyone see what the argument is? So if I have just one horse, it's clearly the same color because it's just one horse, right? And if I have, and if I assume for induction that whenever I have n horses, that they're all the same color, and then I look at n plus one horses, well, I take the first n and they're all the same color, and I take the last n and they're all the same color. And since they overlap in the middle here, this color has to be the same as that color. And so all n plus one are the same color. That's the argument. Okay. And someone, Anushka, has suggested that maybe I've messed up the base case. And do you care to elaborate? So how did I mess up the base case?
Because when you're looking at, when you're doing the n plus one case,
mm-hmm.
you're not considering like the, like you should be doing the n plus two case.
Okay. I would say that I should be doing the case of two.
Can I elaborate?
Yes, please.
So like if you say that n is, if you do the same case for when n is one and then n is two, then you only have two cases, then they don't overlap because that's the only place where they don't overlap. And so it doesn't ring true for anything else other than that.
That's exactly right. So did people understand what he was saying? So he said that my argument's fine, except in the case where I'm looking at n equals two and I've assumed it for n equals one. So we want n equals two and we assume n equals one, because then I have just two of them and these are all one color. Yeah, that's fine. These are all one color, but there's no overlap, right? So one of them's brown and one is black, and there's nothing to say that they are the same. Only when I get past two can I use that argument that the middle ones are going to make it match for me. Okay. So the confusion is that it's the induction step's fine for large n. The base case is fine for n equals one, but there's a problem right there at n equals two. So you have to make sure that your argument works. So problem. The induction proof is wrong. For the case n plus one is equal to two. Right, that's the one case where it's wrong. Everything else is right. Okay, out of time. So I guess I'll basically just do more proofs on Monday because we're going to continue to review. And let me turn off the recording and I will.